901-975 The Fanatic, coming to you from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you in the crease following a 3-1 Flyers victory over the Caps. 2-0 in the round robin. One more to play against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday. Time still to be determined, I believe. And with that, they have a chance at the top seed if they take down the Tampa Bay Lightning. 610-632-0975. We're asking, this team is so fun to watch, so fun to follow. What makes them so different that they are having this success here that you feel good about them going forward? 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli, before we get to Joe in New Jersey, Scotty in Barrington, and people dropped off during the break. Again, we're going now 23 minutes commercial free. So if you do want to get in, still an opportunity up for grabs, the $50 NFL Shop gift card to the best caller of the night. Tyler, what is our poll that you put up on 97.5 on Twitter?
Yeah, so it's pretty much a mirror image in terms of question from what we talked about the other day when we asked, after two games, what are the Sixers to you? So the question is, after two games, the Philadelphia Flyers are a fill in the blank. Your options are cup favorite, cup contender, great but not a contender, good team. Just a little bit under 400 votes so far. 73%, almost three-fourths of the votes, say the Flyers are a cup contender. Almost 20% of the votes say that they are a cup favorite. So between those two, 93% say that the Flyers are either a cup favorite or a cup contender. 5% say they're great but not good. 2% say, or great but not a contender, I should say. 2% say they're just a good team.
Wow. So people, again, have faith that this team can go a long way. And look, they are a cup contender at this point. Remember, at some point, right before the hiatus, the conversation was being had. All right, they are now a cup. Things are changing now. They are a cup contender. Are they on the back end of that? Sure, right? They were going to be a top 14, but sure, they are on the back end of that. That being said, they had already started to be acknowledged and recognized as one of those teams that was going to be a problem, and you need to pay attention to what they're doing. And now folks are paying attention to what they are doing. 610-632-0975. Guys, how do you feel? How do you feel? Saturday, they could lock it up. Top seed in the East. What makes this one so different for them? 610-632-0975. Scotty and Barrington, next on the Fanatic. Scott, how you doing, man?
Brother, do you ever thought we'd be talking about Flyers hockey, man? Let me get
maybe
down to it.
Maybe not this soon, but you knew at some point you would be, but man, doing that thing last, right now.
That last caller, before you went on break, my man was on fire, but I'm going to try and add to mine. Okay, we already said the coach, man. I met him in person. Good guy. You got to take the general manager.
Chuck Fletcher.
For doing what he did, the moves that he made. Number three, my dark horse is their motivation factor is Oscar Lindblom. I'm sorry if I'm saying his name wrong. Man, it's a good guy, but Brother D, the sky's the limit. I think they got that motivation behind them with Oscar, man. He was playing good himself, if my memory serves me correct, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he got sick in December. They announced it, and of course, we know he was out, and he had to get the treatment. He's all good now. He's with the team. And we did bring this up before, Scott, that with this in the past, we've talked about how with him now coming back and just that having that boost, that emotional boost, and knowing that he fought through what he fought through, the team was all behind him, the entire National Hockey League was behind him, of course, and hoping, wishing him the best in his recovery, and here he is. And maybe it does, right? Maybe it is, Scott. Maybe it's their year. Maybe something like that happens. But everything else seems to be going in their way as well, where it's just all pointing in the right direction for the Flyers.
And not to dog out Brett Brown, but Coach Brown, I told my coworkers here at the shop right that I work at, I said, Flyers had the same amount of time off as the Sixers, and you saw the difference, Brother D. They had the same amount of time off. Again, it's that coach, man. It's that coach. He doesn't baby him. He doesn't cater to him. He gets on him, man. So that's all I got to say about the Flyers, man. I'm so hyped, man. I can't even explain it, man. I'm just so hyped. I got a Stanley Cup playoff towel, and got my lady once. I even got her watching it, Brother D. But that's all I got to say, man.
Yeah, well, listen.
We should reverse that song. back in the day with the Sixers. Ain't no stopping us now, man. We need to get that up for the Flyers.
Well, the Flyers have their own music, man. You know what I'm saying? And everybody knows what it is when it starts to play. And that hopefully we're hearing that a lot.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hopefully we're hearing it a lot. Thanks, man. Hang on. We'll qualify you, Scotty. And this is just a good time for the Flyers to be hitting the stride that they are hitting and going about their business, doing their thing. Chuck Fletcher coming in, making the moves, some controversial, of course, starting with Hayes, but then also acquiring Thompson and doing everything with Grant and just putting it all together the right way. They put together a really, really, really good team. Where the poll, as Tyler pointed out, everyone is simply pointing out how they feel like they are a cup contender, and they are now. They are certainly that. Let's hope that they lock down their number one seed on Saturday against the Tampa Bay Lightning and put themselves in a position to just go out there and play. Go out there and play, have fun, enjoy themselves, and be the best team that they can out there. Pete Braverman, Delco Pete, they play with passion and have that, quote, never say die attitude. They believe they can beat any team any day. It's great. That's what you want. You want to feel like you have a chance to go out there and compete and get something done. 610-632-0975. Joe in New Jersey on 97.5. Joe.
Hey, Devon. How are you?
Oh, good, man. It's good to be in the crease talking some hockey with you all.
Well, listen, I'm going to go in a little different direction than other people do. First off, I want to give out a shout to Ron Hextall. Because Ronnie Hextall is really the engineer behind all this. You wouldn't have the young talent that you did if Hextall hadn't come in, drafted well, and resisted the way old Flyer GMs did business of trading away good young talent to bring in old, aging veterans who were past their prime and giving them big contracts. Hextall remembered what the game has changed to, brought in speed and brought in talent. Brought in good defensemen, loaded up with defensemen because he realized how important it was. And the biggest thing, Vigneault's done a great job and Chris Fletcher's done a great job up here now, but they have both benefited from something that the Flyers haven't had in several years. Good, consistent goaltending who managed to stay healthy. You know, the last 2 years, it's been a shuttle between Lehigh Valley and Philadelphia bringing up goalies because everybody was always hurt. You were trading for guys, backups, just to get somebody between the pipes and play. And this year, finally, you've got two competent goaltenders and a young goaltender who could be great. You know, so the Flyers are moving right ahead. They left the old Broad Street Bully days behind, finally. And the team really looks good.
They do. They really do, Joe. They look really, really good. And we just keep repeating certain things that they're out there just having a blast playing the game. And for them, for them to come back, Joe, after all this time off and seem like they're still just and just going out there and not skipping a beat, it's just tremendous work. And, yeah, we know that certain guys, of course, you had to give credit for them doing their part. But right now, just also giving the credit to what Fletcher and Vigneault are doing with this club at this time.
Well, you know what, too? I think the biggest difference this year for this team is that you finally do have good, consistent, reliable goaltending that allows the rest of the players to play a little looser and play their game. You can break up ice that much quicker because you know you have a good goaltender behind you who can cover up if a mistake is made. Over the past several years, that has not been the case with the Flyers. Goaltending was terrible.
Yeah, and now you have one. You seemingly have one.
You have
one.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it, man. Appreciate it, man. Joe, hang
okay,
on.
Thanks, Devon.
We'll qualify you, Joe, as well, if you want to be qualified. We'll do that for you here. Qualify you for the NFL Shop gift card. We'll announce the winner at the end of the evening. And hopefully, you know, you guys enjoy that and certainly enjoy this whole thing that the Flyers are doing right now. So just kind of forecasting things as we, you know, going into a Saturday against the Tampa Bay Lightning, where the Lightning right now, so as we look at the standings, and it's, you know, it's all weird at this point with everything being on hold and where everybody is right now with their records and playing this thing. We know that they stopped the regular season. It's only the postseason, and that's why they're saying the postseason. When we read that tweet earlier from the NHL public relations, we read that tweet earlier saying that because just looking at what they're doing right now and these three games to go. So the Tampa Bay Lightning, of course, 92 points on the season before the season was put on hold. They beat the Capitals 3-2. They beat the Bruins 3-2. And now we get ready for the Flyers on Saturday. Well, again, time to be determined. And this is going to be a really, really good matchup.
Well, and they've got something to play for more so than just advancement and seeding. Is they've had that demon of early round exits, President Cup trophy winners. You know, you get not only lose to a wild card team, but get swept out by a wild card team a season ago in the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got something they need to play for, which to me is when I look at that Lightning team, more so than beating them and claiming the one seed and going 3-0 in the round robin games, more so important than beating them in this one particular game is not having to see them again until what would be the Eastern Conference Finals. If you can avoid that team and let somebody else beat them or, you know, put them to the test prior to the Flyers having to meet up with them in the second round, and instead of being the Eastern Conference Finals, I'd feel a lot better. Just because I look at them, and if history dictates, and maybe they'll prove that they're just a really good regular season team, but if history dictates, teams that get beat badly by teams that are not supposed to compete, mm-hmm. i.e. them, i.e. the Virginia basketball team that, you know, lost to UMBC, comes back, wins a national title the next season.
Yes.
They go on a rampage.
Right.
I don't want to get in that way if the Flyers don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And this is fun. It really is just fun to watch what they're doing overall. I want to enjoy this one as a fan, Ty, and I want to watch this one, see where they take it from there. I really do. I just want to see them do what they do, take it from there.
Let yourself get invested.
Yeah, I'm always invested, especially when the playoffs start. I'm always in. I take my breaks during the regular season a little bit, but...
No, but what I mean is I can sense a little hesitation, and I could be wrong. I can sense a little hesitation of not wanting to get invested and not get your heart broken.
Well, not that I don't want to get my heart broken. The expectations are going to be there. They should be. They did that to themselves, right? They're good. I just want to see it all play out. Yeah, I'm going to have the expectations out there of them because we've seen what we've seen. But I also just want to I just want to see them play well. Right?
It's kind of like our poll from a couple of nights ago. You know, we asked what's a successful season for them.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to the season beginning, you know, way back in October, if you would have said the Flyers were at this point in October, my answer would have been, wow, that's already a successful season. Because like everybody said, this was kind of the turn the corner year. But benchmarks move as the season goes on. And now especially you're 2-0 in a round robin where you were, I guess technically on paper, mm-hmm. the worst of the four teams. Benchmarks move. And when the benchmark moves, now, just getting to this point is not successful enough anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying they have to win the cup or else, but at this point,
I got you.
At this point, you've set yourself up. You can't lose to a Florida or the Islanders or, you know, Carolina. You just simply can't do that.
Yeah. Nah, man. I mean, I'm going to allow myself to enjoy this, as you say. We all should. Everyone should. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens in the crease with you until 10. Tyler Zuli producing the show. We are also best caller. $50 NFL shop gift card up for grabs for the best caller of the night. We're taking you in the crease with the Flyers winning 3-1 tonight this afternoon over the Washington Capitals. Now 2-0 in the round robin, setting up a big time game on Saturday. Top seed up for grabs against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Also 2-0 in their round robin games against the Bruins and the Capitals as well. So the two teams that have not faced each other here, Flyers and Lightning, they will duke it out on Saturday. Time still to be determined. and we are all here for it. Let's go to Brian in Plymouth Meeting. What's up, B?
Yo, Devon.
What's going on, my man?
Getting all fired up, I guess. Joe had a really good call a couple callers ago, and Tyler early in the show talking about how they abandoned the Broad Street bully mentality, finally. Over the couple years I've been calling you, we've probably talked about the Flyers 4 times, and I probably said the same thing every time. It's the young puck-moving defensemen are the key to this whole thing. And Hextall does deserve credit for it. And that's not to take credit away from Fletcher and Vigneault, who took that foundation that he built and got this thing together quicker than probably even they expected. I mean, maybe not, but, this team is just, Ovechkin couldn't do anything because his defenseman couldn't get the puck up the ice to him. And for so many years, the Lindros years, the years after that, we would put everything in these forward lines, and a lot of times it would be one forward line, which would make it even easier. But if those guys aren't put in a position getting up the ice, they got to do something spectacular, and that can't happen night after night after night. Whereas if you have defensemen, I mean, these guys just make it look easy getting the puck out of their own end and make difficult passes look easy, not seeing very many mistakes out of them. And it's great. I probably said this to you before too, I do worry about them holding up through a Stanley Cup run with, 20, potentially 28, kind of brutal physical games.
Yes.
But, kind of all bets are off in this bubble thing. I mean, they've had some time off. I don't know, since I'm only a Flyers fan, not an NHL fan at this point in time. I used to be an NHL fan prior to the lockout. I don't know the personnel in the other teams, whether other teams have the personnel to try to kind of dump and chase and kind of get these defensemen playing,
mm-hmm.
turn their back to them, and then you just wear them down in the boards over and over. It seemed like that might have been what Washington was trying to do today. I missed the first 10 minutes, but I was listening to it on the radio, and it sounded like somebody took a run at Provorov. Tim Saunders was calling for a 5-minute boarding penalty. So I don't know. That might have been what they were trying to do early, but they got away from it.
I think I might have missed that one stepping away while we were here in the studio, so I didn't hear that one.
And also, goaltending is still a question mark. I mean, Carter Hart is going to be a great goalie, but it's just goaltending is so much about confidence. It could just be like one or two bad goals. And, but fortunately they do have another guy. So, I'm sure the team has confidence in both guys. It just, if you get in a tough series with an equally talented opponent, a couple bad goals can really just change the course of a whole series.
Yeah. And, with the, like we said, man, nothing is going to go perfect for them. While you pointed out the bubble aspect of this whole thing, nothing's going to go perfect. And as you just also pointed out, a potential 28 games that you have to play to make this run, it's going to be difficult. So, but they've shown some really good things, and people here are excited. They should be excited. It's the team in town
Absolutely.
That's winning right now. And I cannot wait for Saturday, Brian, to see what's going on with this game against Tampa. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what, they're entertaining to watch. The young guys are going to get experience. Winning the cup would be awesome and gravy and whatnot. But I have the utmost confidence that this core group will win a cup over the next couple of years.
Yeah, even if it's not this year, they will win a cup. Yeah. Yeah,
I believe in Provorov. That Sanheim goal today was amazing. He's a good player too. So they've got at least two frontline, 35, 40 minute a game if necessary defensemen.
Yeah,
and they're like 23.
That's and Brian, when Tyler played that Sanheim cut, the audio coming back from break, we both wanted that specifically because of, as sitting here watching it, since we were just watching the game. We didn't have to work yet until, you know, it was time for us to get on. We were looking at that saying, man, did you see what he just did with that stick and getting, you know, what he did? So just amazing work by them. Some nice players, man. Nice players.
That was a finish in all-star forward mix. And and the fact that he breaks on the fact that he has the confidence to kind of break there, that's coaching. And that's, you know, like, I'm a Barcelona soccer fan. They play total football, and that what that not anymore because they stink now. But what that means is, like, it's positionless. Like, if you see an opportunity, you attack, and one of your teammates knows to drop into your position to cover for you, and that's what you can do with these with great defensemen like this, and that's what a great coach like Alain Vigneault will coach his players up to do, and then give them the confidence to do. So.
Yeah, you said a great coach. We hope we have that in this city with the other franchises as well. Listen, B, hang on, man. We'll qualify you for the NFL Shop gift card, $50 up for grabs for the best caller of the night. And we will continue to take those phone calls. Tom, we'll start with you when we get back, our final segment. So hang on, Tom, and everyone else. Sit tight. We'll get to you when we get back. Final segment, 610-632-0975. We're in the crease talking the Flyers win. They're 2-0 in round robin play. Big game Saturday against the Tampa Bay Lightning. This team is fun. This team is fun. Why are they so darn good? We're talking about it until 10. Tyler Zuli producing. I'm Devon Givens. Tom, we'll get to you when we get back right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5. The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Ah, you hear it right here. Flyers 2-0 in round robin play. One game remaining against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Saturday, time to be determined. We will find out as these guys are rolling right now, and hopefully they can continue that. Pick up that top seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs and start the postseason. 610-632-0975. We will announce the winner of our $50 NFL Shop gift card. Before we get out of here, we will give you the final results of our poll on 97.5 The Fanatic, and we will take whatever phone calls that we have remaining as well on the Philadelphia Flyers and just what makes this team so different, right? What makes them so different that you have all of this faith in this team, especially just simply... just simply going out there as a team to start the year off that we didn't see this coming. Sometimes, right? How many times do we see it in these leagues and there's always a team that comes out of nowhere, and this time it happened to be the Flyers. I remember Josh Rabick and I were here doing the show and we were predicting, doing a preview show for the Flyers, and we had great conversations on the lines, on Twitter, all of it. Josh and I, finally, we said, all right, will they make the postseason? I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's time for them yet. And Josh was like, yeah, they're going to make the postseason. But not even Josh saw this coming from this Flyers team. So I, you know me, I never have a problem standing here raising my hand saying, hey, I was wrong. And I'm glad I was wrong, because this team is so darn fun to watch, Ty.
Well, and I'll join you, too. And there are three teams in particular as to why I'm going to join you in that that area. And it was Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes.
Who I just assumed were going to be good again. I mean, I knew Mrazek wasn't going to stand on his head like he did last season. But that team's so talented offensively, I thought that they'd make another run. It was the New York Islanders, who I thought had one more run left in them before they, you know, kind of blew it up and said, you know, we tried and this didn't work. And it was the New Jersey Devils. I thought that they had made some really nice moves, and I know that, you know, they trade Taylor Hall away. That's kind of signifying we're giving up. But I thought that they were going to be a good team too. And all three of those teams, I think, fell short of expectations. And because of that, the Flyers were able to capitalize.
Yep, and they did. They did in a big way. And here they are on the brink of the number one overall seed. They've already moved up, right? They've already moved up.
Well, the worst they can be is two.
Yes. They've already moved up from four up to two. Now we're looking at one. Let's see if we can get it done. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Tom in West Grove to talk about this talented Flyers team here on the Fanatic. Tom, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Devon? Hope you're doing well, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Hope you are as well.
Thank you, man. I'm calling in just to talk Flyers. I think that this is one of the more talented rosters since 2010. I think that they're very skillful and young. I think that they built a good support system around Claude Giroux with the head coach, and they get contributions from everybody. And they just simply, for me, they just simply believe that they can win, and they have a great mindset coming in night in, night out, and they play really physical hockey, and I think that they can beat Tampa on Saturday because they simply believe, and I think that they can, and think they can beat Tampa as well because they beat Washington, and so I think that they can compete with Tampa.
Oh man, so. We think they can compete with Tampa for sure. We just look at it and say, hey, go out there, play loose, play free, play smart like you have been doing. And just go get this W, right, Tom? Just go get this W, not lock down this one seed, and just continue to get ready for the postseason with the same type of mentality that you've had all this time.
And the defense has been really playing well too, with Carter Hart, the goaltending too, and they take care of the puck and they make very little mistakes. So and they're really good skaters. So that's what makes the team really good. And as I said, that they just really believe in themselves. So that's what makes this team really good. And it's really impressive that they're 41-28 and 7. So I think that they have a really good shot of winning the Stanley Cup.
Let's hope so, man. Let's hope so, Tom. Tom, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. Hang on. We'll qualify you for the gift card as well. It's fun stuff, talking Flyers. I can't wait for Saturday. I hope it's a good time, too. I mean, obviously, we don't know, but I hope it's a good time on Saturday. Yeah. I hope it's a good time on Saturday because Sixers play on, they play Friday and Sunday, so we're good there. The Phillies, look at their schedule. Let me see what time the Phillies play this weekend because we want all this stuff to line up perfectly, right? Where we can just simply sit back, relax, enjoy these games the way we want to enjoy them, and just go from there. So do we get Atlanta this weekend? Yeah, so Saturday, Atlanta 6:05 for the Phillies on Saturday. Who, by the way, just picked up their win over the Yankees 5-4. Guerra gets the win. Neris gets the save. 5-4 for the Philadelphia Phillies. They take on the Braves in a four-game set at the park, at Citizens Bank Park, starting tomorrow, 7:05. Saturday, 6:05. So, Ty, if we had to line it up perfectly, now we're talking about an afternoon game for the Flyers.
I would think so. I would imagine you're probably going to see maybe a 3 o'clock puck drop. That would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I don't know how the NHL is going to slate it. And the NHL might, I don't know if they have the ability to move things around too much, but the NHL might consider going that as the night game. And kind of capping it because it may be the only game has meaning on Saturday.
Yeah, seating purposes.
So it's quite possible that is an 8 o'clock start. But I would bet probably you're looking at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right. Do we have some audio from post-game? Jason speaking to, was it Scott Laughton that he spoke to? Post-game, Scott Laughton again having a really good game today. 2 goals, 1 assist. Yeah, we have it. All right, well,
let me pull it up real quick.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, do your thing. And we'll get to that because he has some things to say. today. And once again, Scott Laughton, 2 goals, 1 assist. Just a fantastic day for him. And he was phenomenal. He was phenomenal. So this is with Jason, right? Post-game?
No, this is just his post-game presser, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go to Scott Laughton and see what Scott Laughton had to say.
I thought we did a good job early on. We got a lead, and then we stayed over top of their guys. We know how skilled they are, so we tried to make it hard on them, and we came out on top.
For you personally, what does an offensive start like this do for your confidence?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, surprise that I struggled a little bit early on in my career getting my feet wet, and just coming back and playing with 2 really good players and trying to create space for them and going to the net hard. So we got to keep this thing rolling. We're not done yet. We haven't even started, so we got to keep going.
Scott Laughton with the media via Zoom post-game press conference. And look, they always say the right things, right? So nothing really earth-shattering there, but just wanted to allow people who did not hear the post-game coverage an opportunity to hear what Scott Laughton had to say. So great game by him, man. He's had a nice run here. Nice stretch.
Well, and you've noticed too, I mean, he's a good player in his own right, right? There's no denying that. But the efficiency of that second line kind of just plays into what we've discussed for a couple of weeks now when we talk about the restart and what is going to be what makes this team go. We understand that this team is fronted by, you know, Giroux and Couturier, but you think about all that second line with Hayes and Konechny and Laughton is wildly unheralded. It's not going to be for very long. Like, Philly knows how good it is. The rest of the world's seeing it now.
And you can't touch it. Leave it alone.
Right.
They're doing what they're doing. They have this chemistry that they've built where they just look phenomenal out there together.
Yeah.
Those three.
And you think about it. You go to pass those three and pass Couturier and pass Giroux.
Yep.
You're looking at, you know, lines with guys that may not be your household names, right? People don't know a ton about Abe Kubel, and they don't know a ton about Grant. They don't know a ton about Thompson. And
I always say his name wrong. I say Kubel instead of Kubel.
Yeah, but like to that point exactly, right, is sometimes you're not thinking about these guys, but they're producing and they're grinding. And you know, I think Coatsy said it on the broadcast today, they are so deep that they're basically picking and choosing mm-hmm. their matchups, right? Because you talk about, obviously, you want Couturier on Ovechkin for as much of the game as you possibly can. He's your best defensive forward. He's a Selke Award finalist for a reason. But they match up well every line. They're so unbelievably deep. There is, you know, I don't want to be like Mr. over the top about it because it's still the round robin tournament and anything can happen in an NHL playoff series. But there's so much to get excited about for this team.
Yeah. No, 100%, man. Dale on Twitter, DLS12799, legitimate Stanley Cup contender. This was from the poll question that you put up there a little while ago. His response, Dale, legitimate Stanley Cup contender. A funny one from mid-major Matt. Everything the Sixers aren't. And he's right. He's right. And we thought they were going to be that. You know, it's a whole nother conversation, but he's right. Everything the Sixers are not. I wish Brett Brown had a handle on this team the way Vigneault seems to have, where the players are buying in, believing in what he's putting out there in the system where it's no problem. The fact that, again, here we go, Simmons is said during the season, Brown wants them hoist up a jumper every game, going just one jumper every game going forward, and he doesn't do it. I mean, just imagine Vigneault saying he wants something from a player, puts it out there publicly, and he doesn't do it. You don't think that he's going to handle that a certain way?
I think yeah. so. There's a certain way to it, especially now that they're bringing, 30 guys? They have 30 guys in Toronto or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what that certain way is called? Cool. Healthy scratch. See you tomorrow. Sit down. We'll talk about it after the game.
Well, we'll see you later after we take you out of the game.
And they can.
You passed up that shot.
Because you think about it. I mean, today, mm-hmm. just look at today. JVR signs a big contract in the offseason.
Yeah.
It's a healthy scratch. Joel Farabee plays.
Healthy scratch. And they actually got it wrong. Did the people putting together the lineups earlier in the game, they had JVR in the lineup and they had to take him off because he was a healthy scratch. Yeah. And they were like, oh, my bad.
I get it to an extent. You just assume, all right, the Flyers are playing. There's a couple of guys that you know are locks. He's, you would think, would have been one of them. Just by name recognition.
Yep.
And contract status. Vigneault said, nope, we're going with the young kid.
Let's go with the young kid here. Nope, no problem. Well, Ty, tonight the Phillies again, they pick up the win over the Yankees 5-4. They beat the Yankees. Yankees now 9-3 on the season. The Phillies 3-4. Look at that. 7 games in the books for the Phils. But they're in 4th place, 2.5 out of first, behind the 5-1 Miami Marlins. The Braves 8-5. They come to town for 4 this weekend. Nationals 4-5. Mets 5-8. So hopefully they'll catch up.
Well, and the Braves, by the way,
yes.
Obviously tough loss a couple days ago with Mike Soroka tearing his Achilles.
Yeah, man.
Done for the year.
See? We talk about having the layoff for all these leagues and injuries happening. That's why players are opting out in all of these sports because they're fearful of, number one, the coronavirus, but number two, fear of injury. So Braves coming here for 4. They could pick up, Phillies can make up some ground big time this weekend with the Braves. Not saying they'll win all 4 and walk away with the 7-4 record at the end, but hopefully you take 3 of the 4 against the Braves, even though they have a decent record so far in the National League, in the National League East. But now the Phillies, knowing that they have continued games, just games back to back to back to back to back, that's a good thing. I did see something earlier, not Spencer Howard part, we'll get to that. I did see something earlier where it said that they might make up the games. I want to say it was Jim Salisbury or someone, that they were going to make up the games with the Marlins, and it was basically going to be like 7 games in 5 days with 2 doubleheaders. I want to say it was Jim Salisbury put it out there a little bit earlier. And let me see. I know you're looking for things as well, but I'm going to look at Salisbury's tweets. And I wanted to say it was Jim, but maybe I was wrong. But I read it earlier that they were going to put together the games later against the Marlins, and they were just simply going to be a lot of games. In like 5 days. 2 doubleheaders. So I can't find it now. My apologies. I brought it up. I should know better. I need to know where it is, and I do not have it at this time. But, you know, they got the win tonight. 5-4. JT Realmuto with another home run. Looking really good.
I've got it for you here.
2-4, home run, 3 RBI, 2 runs, a strikeout, and throwing somebody out at second base for foolishly trying to run on them again.
Yeah, you can't run on the best catcher in baseball.
No.
But it was, by the way, it was Matt Gelb.
Okay, it was Matt. Sorry,
yep.
Matt.
Yep.
If you listen to
Matt. 3-game series between the Phillies and the Marlins, which was originally scheduled for August 4th through the 6th, will be rescheduled during the club's scheduled 4-game series in September. The teams will play 7 games against one another in a 5-day span.
There
so here's the schedule. Thursday, okay. September 10th, 6:40. That was a regularly scheduled game. Friday, September 11th, a 5:10 doubleheader. So the regularly scheduled game and followed up by the makeup from Tuesday, August 4th. September 12th, it's a Saturday, a 6:10 start. That's a regularly scheduled game. And then Sunday the 13th, they'll play at 1:10. It's a doubleheader to make up the 5th. And then on Monday the 14th, they'll play 4:10 to make up for August 6th. So there's your 7 games in 5 days.
Well, it might mean something at the end too, Ty.
Yeah, which will be a great time for them to go 2-5. You know, and get swept out of a couple doubleheaders.
Because why? They're playing the Marlins. They're playing the Marlins. But a good win for them. JT Realmuto, once again, really good. Zach Eflin went 4 innings, 4 hits, giving up 2 runs. No earned runs for him. 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. And then they went to the bullpen. Bullpen made it a little scary again, but they wound up holding it down. Neris picking up the save. And the Phillies are now 3-4 on their season with 7 games in the book.
So you want to hear kind of a funny story is because we always hear about 3-4 game series, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you get 5 because of a makeup. But the Phillies and the Marlins actually played a 5-game series back in 2001. the Phillies swept them in a five-game series. And I think that's the last time the Phillies swept out a five-game series against anybody because they're so rare. Matt follows up because somebody tweeted at him, and he follows up with this. Here are the winning pitchers of that series. Robert Person, Real Cormier, Bruce Chen, Omar Dahl, and Nelson Figueroa.
Wow.
What a bad team.
How bad is it that I remember all of them?
Well, most of them. Well, I shouldn't say most of them. Two of them came as part of the Curt Schilling deal.
Yes. Wow.
Mm. Talk about a bad staff.
Jeez. That was your
five-game sweep.
That was your five. Quickly, before we get ready to get out of here and you give the poll update and the winner, Spencer Howard, possibly this weekend. I heard you and Pat talking about how he could also potentially be coming out of the bullpen, but what do you think in general? Will he be up here?
Yeah, I think he's going to very shortly, and Girardi has made mention that maybe you can use him out of the bullpen. I know Pat didn't like it, but for 1 year, I'm okay with it.
Especially in a weird year, and you just want to come up here.
Right, I want him to log innings, and I don't care if they come start-wise or if they come bullpen-wise, because quite honestly, I look at the bullpen, and he can't be any worse than it's been. I mean, I read you a stat earlier today that the relievers before Guerra today had thrown 3 1/3 innings immediately following the starters this season and had a 37 ERA. It can't be any worse.
And Guerra picked up the win tonight.
Correct.
Yes.
So if this kid comes up and he pitches in the 7th and 8th inning and kind of gets you a bridge to Neris, then I'm totally okay with it for one season.
Great tweet here to you and I, Tyler, from Elbow Shaferi, Brian in Plymouth Meeting. I'm sick and tired of 97.5 talking about the Flyers all the time. You never talk about Phil Gosselin's MVP campaign, not that double in, and how a lot of Philadelphians watched their first and last Union game last night. Sick of it. Flyers talk. All right, we got to get out of here in a couple minutes.
It was a rough loss for
you, Brian.
Last night.
Thank you, Brian. Twitter poll first. What do you have? Twitter poll. On the 97.5 Fanatic Twitter account, what do you have?
Yeah, so you got about 90 seconds left. Oh, never mind. Nope, just went final. Never mind.
Yep.
463 votes on this one. After two games, the Philadelphia Flyers are a fill-in-the-blank. 463 votes, 73% say they are a cup contender. 18% say they're a cup favorite. 5% say they're great, but not cup contender. Just 4% say they're only a good team.
All right. Got it, man. And finally, the winner of our gift card is who?
So EJ Banks, randomly selected. He is our winner of our $50 gift card.
And congrats, EJ. EJ won a $50 NFL Shop gift card. Football is back, and so is HBO's Hard Knocks, the award-winning series that gives fans a look at what it takes to make it in the NFL. This season, Hard Knocks will follow two teams, the Los Angeles Chargers and the Los Angeles Rams, as they prepare for the most unprecedented season in football history. That's Hard Knocks, Los Angeles premieres Tuesday, August 11th at 10 p.m. on HBO and stream it on HBO Max. All right, everyone, have a great night. Another programming update for us tomorrow. We'll be on tomorrow after the Sixers, so approximately 9:30, 9:45, somewhere around that range after they play the Orlando Magic minus Ben Simmons. I'll be handling the pregame show for you as we get things started, postgame as well. Then we'll get to Tom McGinnis for the game call. And, of course, we'll go in the post after the game and talk about the Sixers minus Ben Simmons. All right. Have a great night, everyone. Thanks to all the callers. Thanks to all the tweets, everyone who listened. Great to talk some Flyers hockey. Big game on Saturday. Sixers tomorrow. We'll talk to you tomorrow after the Sixers game. Enjoy the rest of your night right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.